Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. We are in the fall of the year here where I live, and I'm happy to have you join us. We are joined today by Mr. Greg Stiles, and we're going to be having a conversation that's actually going to be a two-part conversation. We're going to be speaking today, September 28th, and we're also going to be speaking on October 12th to cover a very big topic, and it's all around the whole concept of being good enough. So today we are going to be talking about when will you be good enough and really diving deep into where does that come from? I am a big believer that not feeling good enough is a root cause of a lot of behavior that most of us express. So we're going to dive into that and we're going to discuss that with Greg today and really try to give some insight for all of you listeners. So those of you that aren't familiar with Greg, Greg Stiles is a licensed psychotherapist and he has been practicing for over 20 years. And he's also an executive coach. And I love the way he intertwines the two. And he really works under the level of executive coaching, but also there's this current of wellness lifestyle and then living a spiritually informed life. So Greg is very holistic in his way of approaching things. So he can see things from a very large perspective and funnel them down, which makes him a great guest for my show because I like to dive deep into subject matters because my intention is to create value for you. A little bit more about Greg. He's really a human development specialist. He works with executives, athletes, professionals, really anyone looking to become the best they can be. His current focus involves being and bringing the best of psychology, philosophy, sociology, wisdom traditions, and personal protection or self-defense to women and girls. He takes all of the information that he has and all the wisdom that he has, and he synthesizes it and presents it to remind women of their innate power, wisdom, and strength. He teaches both women and girls the skill of self-defense to enhance their own ability to contribute to the world at their highest level. And anyone that knows me or has listened to me for some time, you know that contribution is a huge piece to what I bring to the table. So I love having Greg on. Greg, say hello. Thank you for coming.
Hi, Jenna, and hello, everyone. Thank you for having me here, Jenna. Again, I'm very honored to be on your show and to be here for your listeners. Looking forward to this topic, which is it's such an integral topic and one that people usually don't want to talk too much about. So I'm looking forward to what we uncover today.
Yeah, and today's topic for all of the listeners, again, is when will you be good enough? And there's a level of vulnerability that comes with this kind of conversation. And I've lived in it for quite a few years, and it's uncomfortable, especially for someone like myself, that where I came from having that facade of having it all together and being kind of that bull in the china shop and A-type, just taking control, a little bit of a control freak, which creeps up every now and again. But getting to the place of having a conversation about some of these deep things that really go on under the surface for me has been vitally important to bring me truly into my power. And that's the intention of this conversation, is to allow people to step into their own power so that they can move forward in that deliberate stance. So, Greg, let's dive right in. And when will we be good enough? So where does this whole concept or idea or belief or even habit of not being good enough come from?
You know, that's the gazillion-dollar question, because I think that if there was one easy answer to that, then someone probably much more intelligent than I would have jumped on it and would be writing books and have seminars and all that kind of stuff to help people address that issue. I believe, Jenna, that it comes from a multitude of sources. I certainly believe that it comes from our upbringing. I think that it's really important that at some point in time as an adult, we cast a critical and kind of analyzing eye on our family upbringing and on the culture that we were immersed in from birth, probably until age 12 or 15, between 12 and 15. 12 and 15 is when we begin to differentiate between my own thoughts, my own ideas, my own opinions, my parents' thoughts, my parents' ideas, their opinion, the church's thoughts, society's thoughts, my teacher's thoughts. So that's a very important time in our development. But really up until that time, basically we're just in the soup, and we're just one of the vegetables floating around. And whatever we're surrounded by becomes us, and we really just are a sponge soaking all of those ideas and concepts and messages in. And so often, many of the messages surround this concept of you're just not good enough the way that you are right now. And let me give you an example. So, you know, really from birth on, so I'm a parent, and I certainly have done this, engaged in this behavior with my daughter, and attempt to try not to do that so much anymore. But it's my habit as well of having the conversation, yeah, you did really well. You could do a little bit better. Yeah, honey, that was fantastic. That's a great score. How can you bump that up one notch or two? You know, hey, daughter who's one or two, boy, you're doing a good job of eating those peas and smearing them all over your face. Maybe next time we can do it a little bit less. Now, there's some practicality to all of those things, but underneath that message is that whatever I'm doing right now and however I'm being right now is not good enough for that person that I'm interacting with.
And, you know, it's so important to understand that. Some memories are coming up for me, and I've worked a lot on this, so I really do understand the depth of it. And as I was raised, my father was always very motivational for people, all people around him. And he used to always say to me, if you believe you can't, you're right. And his intention there was to boost me up and not, almost not allow me to drop down into the place of not believing in myself. Yet I also have experiences with him. I'll share a little bit of personal information for the viewers here because I think real life stories really connect things. I remember being in my 20s, and my father owned his own business, and he offered a position to my brother for him to be guided to take over the business. And he turned to me and he said, and Jen, if you want to be the secretary, I'd love for you to step into that role. And for me, you know, here's this one message that I'm receiving from the same person that says, if you believe you can't, you're right. Believe in yourself. Come on, put yourself out there. Be something. And then, yeah, but you can sit behind a desk as long as you know, you wear a skirt or whatever, that kind of idea. So I think as parents, it's important for us to understand what kind of messaging we are sending to our children. And Greg, you and I are similar in the things that I'm going to assume we say to our children, where you're always trying to just, okay, let's just tweak that a little bit. Let's just increase that a little bit. There's more in there. Come on, we can do this. And the message that's being heard may not be the message we're intending. So there's two parts to it. There's the message that's being sending, and then how it's being heard, which I think is a very important piece to this.
I agree 1,000%. And in some ways, I think as parents, one of our charges is to help our children continue to grow, right? Continue to, in some ways, expect more of themselves. That's what we want. We want all of our children to have a better life than we necessarily have. And there's a dynamic tension there, as you said, between what's the message that we're sending and how is it being received. So not only, I think, do we have a responsibility on sending a message that, yes, do believe in yourself. Yes, you can do better. Yes, you can achieve and strive and hit those standards that you have set for yourself. we also need to balance that message with, and yet, honey, please understand that inside your core, you are perfect. And if all you did today was just what you do today, then you're perfect. I love that you want to strive. I love that you want to do more. But it's an added piece. It isn't going to make you any better in my eyes. It's not going to make you a better being. It just is something that adds to your ability to contribute to the world when you're ready to do that, on whatever level you're ready to do that.
Yeah, you are perfect the way you are. That's always a message we hear from a lot of development experts in self-care or self-love. And really the crux of any growth is that idea of self-love. And not most people think that's very fairy, that's very fluffy, but it is actually quite big. So let's just expand this out a little bit. So we've talked about youth and how this idea of not being good enough may present itself for a youth. So as we grow and we become adults and we step into the adult world and we take on roles and we have responsibilities and we do what we do in life, how does this concept or belief of not being good enough affect us? How does it show up?
Well, when I'm working with people, there are some areas of people that are easier to see than others. So I'm going to use right off the bat just an example of an athlete that I've worked with. And this is an Olympic athlete that I've worked with that has been on Olympic teams for the last 12 years. So that's three cycles of Olympics. Pretty impressive. For the majority of us, we would say, yeah, you're pretty much good enough in whatever you're doing because you've been an Olympic-level athlete for three cycles of Olympics. That's absolutely amazing. And yet, if we look at, we break down this whole athletic concept, remember that athletes are constantly told that they're not good enough. Now, you'll have motivational coaches. You'll have psychologists that try and help them with their self-confidence and their self-esteem and their self-worth. But believe it or not, even that Olympian who has been to the Olympics multiple times, has won medals, still feels that she is not good enough. And the question is, well, where does that come from? How does that emit itself? How does that come out in behavior and performance? What it does is there's this constant tension, and it's almost that slow break. What it does for this person is that she's constantly, constantly, constantly being self-critical. She's constantly... Then what happens is she's self-critical, and often that criticism will be externalized. It will come out in being critical of others. So others experience her as hypercritical of them. They can never do anything right in her eyes, because in many ways, in her own eyes, she can never do anything right. So the internal then expresses itself externally. And Jenna, I know that you are a huge proponent of this concept, this philosophy, and I am too, that our inner world is always expressed externally. Whatever's going on with us somehow makes its way outside. And if we're not aware of some of these things, then they can creep out and they can show themselves up in ways that we really don't want. Getting back to this athlete, this is a woman who is, again, amazing, exceptionally friendly, can be a very good teammate when she feels good about herself. And she feels like she is contributing to a high level. That is not very often. And so, again, what happens is she becomes a difficult teammate, the hard one to be around, holding the team back, only focused on herself. Those are the mantras and the whispers behind her back. And so you bring in somebody like me to just try and help settle that down. And really what it does is it comes back to her own perception of her self-worth and that she's not good enough and then nobody else is. So that's one way that it shows itself.
Yeah, and I love that example because it's so very true, and we do agree wholeheartedly together about the internal expression of us becomes the external expression, and it either shows up as behavior we express outward or it shows up as the people we draw into our lives. So whatever we have around us is a very strong reflection of who we are. And the piece about projection or deflection that you're talking about here, when if I'm not feeling good enough in myself, then in order to feel better about myself, I explain or show or tell others or show others how they're not good enough also. Because then I feel a little bit safer where I am. And it becomes this false sense of strength that people can own. When you find yourself looking outwards and always finding fault, really hold up the mirror and take a look at what you're thinking about yourself, because that is a direct reflection of what's going on internally. And until you are willing to do the work internally, that will continue to show its face in your life. So I love that example.
Absolutely. And just to dovetail and kind of further that, you know, this is a really difficult thing for parents, but when you have a child who is struggling outside and maybe they're feeling low self-worth, maybe they're having a hard time with their self-esteem, how they see things, it's easy for us to say that's you, that's your problem, and that's your issue. And yet sometimes I think it's also worth going inside a little bit and saying, okay, well, how am I doing that? How am I communicating these skills? How am I communicating these states to my child? Where is he or she learning this? Where is it coming from? And oftentimes what you see with parents is that they have also these issues, quote unquote. They also have very low self-esteem. They also feel very devalued when they look at themselves in the mirror. And the subtle messages that they give their children, not the overt messages, but the subtle messages, maybe even how they talk to themselves, how they allow others to treat them, etc., then translates to their children. And so it's important to look in that mirror, and that's what you and I talk about all the time, is, look, if your environment, your external environment is not the way that you really want it to be, it's not the way that you would like it to be, it's not the way that feeds you for you to be to your ultimate purpose, you can't, looking outside and moving all the pieces doesn't change it. You got to change inside, because what's inside will be mirrored outside.
So very true. And so there's different keys that people can take away from this conversation so far, and that's in really ownership, owning our own behavior and ourselves, or ourself, so that we can really start to build awareness on how we not only treat ourselves, how we treat others, and how our behavior or habits or beliefs are expressed outward. So how do you guide? We're going to dive deeper into this in October, but on how do we become good enough? But how do we guide people further down the road of this awareness around, is this an underlying current for you? And how is it, we've talked a little bit about how it shows up in your life, but what are some bigger effects this one belief can have in our life?
Well, you know, as we're moving through, number one is it will always come up in relationships. It will always come up within intimate relationships. It will always come up within very close relationships. You will find that oftentimes you're not treated the way you think you should be treated. Oftentimes there will be a victim mentality that people are doing these things to me. Oftentimes you'll see results that don't match up with your expectations. And oftentimes, again, what we'll want to do is when we experience those things, we'll want to externalize and say, oh, well, you're doing that to me, or that happened to me. And we adopt this victim stance. And that victim stance doesn't do anything except paralyze us and cement us in that mentality that we actually have no control over what's going on. When those things happen to us, I would really encourage people just to take a breath, step back, and say, okay, do I have any part in this? Do I have any accountability in how this turned out? And if so, begin to just bring those pieces to awareness, because what you'll see is that you'll begin to see threads going backwards. And the threads going backwards will almost always be anchored by this concept that you're not good enough. And so you're not good enough to achieve to the levels that you should achieve. You're not good enough for the love that you think you should have. You're not good enough for X, Y, and Z.
And this reminds me of the conversation we had in July where we were talking about the shadow side of leadership. And when I think about a leader in this position, so if they're in the workforce or leading in any way in their life, can you talk a little bit about how this root cause, this underlying belief, can show up in how we lead?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and leaders are just people, right? I mean, these are all just labels that we put on people, and yet underneath, they're just people. And so in a leadership setting, when you're in a group, when you're running a company, et cetera, this anchoring belief that you're not good enough can come out in behaviors where you're ultra-competitive. And when you're ultra-competitive, what you're trying to do is you're establishing your worth. You're attempting to prove that you are good enough. It can be that you're overbearing, that you're demanding, that you attempt to take credit for ideas and results that really you don't have any credit for. These behaviors really will, again, kind of go back to that concept of I'm not good enough, so therefore I got to cover my tracks. Because if anybody found out how unworthy I am to be in this position, and then they would kick me out. They would fire me. I would be gone. It kind of leads into, and we've talked a little bit about this idea that's out there of the imposter syndrome, Jenna. And the imposter syndrome has much to do with this idea of not being good enough, that really if everybody around me kind of unmasked me and learned how un-okay I am, how unworthy of their adulation, of their respect I am, then the whole house of cards would come tumbling down.
And it comes tumbling down quickly and a little bit of force at times. So, you know, there's that side of someone almost being overbearing or over-controlling or overcompensating for this that can show up. And there's the other side of that for an individual that may be struggling with not feeling good enough, maybe aware of it or not aware of it, in that holding themselves back and not allowing themselves to really step in to anything of any great measure. Can you talk about that a little bit?
And so, yes, the flip side of that coin is that there's a fear, again, that if you actually step up and the light is shown upon you, then everyone will see that there's nothing there, that you're not, you really don't measure up, and that somehow you got there by this crazy fluke and or by all of these other behaviors that you utilize to try and divert attention from folks. So yes, there are many, many, many other people who will limit their experiences, who will limit their exposure, who will limit their risk-taking, in essence because they feel that they're not good enough to experience life to its fullest. I would counter, okay, you may not feel like you're good enough, and maybe that's one of those anchoring concepts that you have about yourself. And yet, if you just are in the moment and you attempt to live the moment fully as possible, the only thing you're going to get is a whole lot of evidence that your concept of not being good enough is false and is actually just mythology. It's not true. Now, Jenna, we also have to be aware, and I think we have to talk a little bit about that. The majority of us grow up in a culture, certainly if we're in Western civilization, where we are constantly bombarded by messages that we're not good enough. So women are always bombarded by messages that you are not good enough. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic class you are. The concept out there around this machine that we have circling is that you're never pretty enough, you don't have the right weight, you're not intelligent enough, you aren't making enough money, you aren't a good enough housewife, you're not a good enough wife, you're not a good enough this or that or this. Men, we have the same thing, and it's fascinating. We messages and commercials and television and everything are around how men, again, are not, our hair is not right, so we should dye it. How many more times do we have to see messages about Viagra just to remind us that men aren't where they should be or who they are? You're not good enough right now. So again, there's an economy that's built around reminding us that we're not good enough, so that then if you buy this, or if you engage me, or if you do this, then you will be good enough. And so it's this constant mythology that we're surrounded by that we really have to fight against and continue to remember, okay, that actually is an economic machine that's attempting to influence how I feel about myself. Am I going to allow that to happen? And if you say no, then you begin to even further dispel that mythology that you're not good enough, because you're not buying into the hype.
And I like that you brought that in, because what's really happening for a lot of us, if not the bulk of us, it's everything is fear-based, right? We're taking action based on fear. So all of that selling that happens, it's all fear-based, right? Do this or this will happen. Or, you know, if I can keep you in a place where you don't feel good enough, then you will be more willing to buy something from me. And then you take that to the other place of just behavior or actions that we take. And if most of our actions and behaviors that we express are based on the fear or any fear, then there's nothing, it's external to us. There's nothing of us in it beyond the fear. And we become very externally driven, and we want more, we need more. Therefore, we feed into the machine of the fear-based selling. We express ourselves in ways that aren't really about us. They're not really us at all. They're just based on the fear of not being found out that we're not a certain way. And we really drive our whole world based on fear. And you can dive into fear at such a deep level that you can see the roots of that. And then it's interesting. I'd like for you to take just a couple of minutes here and talk about the connection between this belief of not being good enough and fear.
Well, fear is part of it, right? Because if you're not good enough, then you're always afraid that, again, somebody's going to find you out and that you never will be good enough. The fear, the bottom fear, that kind of the base fear, isn't that I'm not good enough. The base fear is I will never be good enough, no matter what I do, no matter who I am, no matter what I achieve. And that is the fear associated with that concept of oneself, is that I will never, ever be good enough. When in actuality, and we've talked about it, Jenna, we're all good enough right here, right now. Right here, right now, we are good enough for whatever it is we aspire to, for whatever how we want to contribute to the world. And our strength is knowing that our power and our being good enough so often has nothing to do with external results. It really doesn't. It has to do with internal states and how we feel about ourselves. External results are external results. We can always attempt to move them up or down, recalibrate them how we need to. And yet, if we are a little bit more forgiving of ourselves and a little bit more compassionate with who we are, that we're fallible, we don't do everything right, that's just who we are, that's how we're organized, then we don't have to be perfect, which means that we are always good enough. And that fear doesn't have to be associated with almost everything that we do.
Change the internal state to change the external experience. And that's really what it's about. So just to recap for people, we are going to carry on this conversation, Greg and myself, on October 12th. And we're going to be talking about how do we become good enough. So how do we make some momentum here and make some movement in this? Because I think it's great to give information, but if we don't know what to do with it or where to go, then it's really difficult for us. And so the piece we're talking about today is, there's a couple things to take away. Take a look at your behaviors and the actions that you take and see, just be aware, just what are they? You know, are you perhaps a people pleaser? Is it hard to say no? Are you come on aggressive anytime that you're challenged or there's so many behaviors that you can look at, but just start to look at them. Look at your own behaviors, build your own awareness, see how things start to act out in your life, you being one of those things, and really dive into what's behind it and what's driving it, looking at your drivers. And if you do find that you're in a place of not feeling good enough, a deep belief system that may not even be yours, it may have just been passed down generationally in your family. So what part of that do you own? What part of that do you not own? What are you willing to let go of? All those movements that we're going to talk about next time. And really start to build your own internal information on yourself, because that's where we start. That's where we start to build. That's where we start to develop. So Greg, thank you so much for spending time with me and starting this conversation. It's such a big topic that it is hard to get through it in 30 minutes time, but we'll piece it out a bit and try to cover a lot of information for people so that we create some value in their lives. So Greg, thank you. Any final words before we click off today?
Jenna, thank you so much for having me here. Yes, it is a big topic, and it's a big thing to look at in people's lives. All I would suggest is, but don't get intimidated by that. The big thing is just become aware of it. As Jenna said, look at yourself, look at your own behaviors, look at the people that you have in your own life, and then begin to take action. And we'll talk about action next time. And that's really it. Belief systems often are handed down. You don't have to continue to live with that belief system. Belief systems are interchangeable. You can change them. So where you are today doesn't have to be where you are tomorrow.
Fantastic, fantastic. So join Greg and myself next time, October 12th, same time, same place, as we talk about how do we become good enough and how do we start to take deliberate, appropriate action based on what we want. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great rest of your Monday, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show, or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.